I want you to get your Bible out, if you have one. If you don't have one, you've got them here in the thing. So I want you to listen with me. And I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter, that's way over there, in case you're... you're just about out of it. Have you found it? If you haven't, I'll send somebody out there to help you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Now that's really easy, isn't it? Okay. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of that of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be able to give a defense to everyone who asks of you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that's what we need, a good conscience, that when they define you as evil, those who reveal your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. He's better if he will follow God to suffer the doing good that for every evil. Okay, I hope you didn't stumble through it 2-5. But what we want to look at is about this praying of the union of the post-Christian America. Help me, brethren. You know, I've asked you many times, maybe I'm getting too old for this. And I am. Let's face it, I am. And my wife is so good to me, to always work and keep helping me. And now she's getting tired and wore out. So we're just easing along that maybe you can find a new man. Others. Yeah, buy a new man. I need him. I don't know if some of you ever heard the late Dr. Francis Schaeffer. He was a good man in a sense of living a Christian life, as he thought it was, and of a man trying to help these people in their ways. In the early 70s, Dr. Schaeffer made a statement that turned out to be early prophetic. And here's what he said. Now here's a man that has had years and years of looking around for bills of just preaching the gospel as he was thinking it was, and he had his faults. But here this man was, and he said, someday, now listen, someday we will make up and find out the American we once knew is gone. Why? What's wrong? Do you ever walk up and down the streets? Do you ever go someplace and just see crowds? When my brother was in, my preacher, or my good son, he drove me around a lot here in the place today. And he loved what he was doing. Not the Lord, because that's not in his life. And I can't do anything to get that from him. But he loves me, and I love him. And I work on him. And I'd do anything I could to save him more than me, because he needs that. But anyway, this man, Francis Schaeffer, he had a desire to realize, let's go out and preach the world. And we did that for a long time. But as he was going down, I was going down, others were going down, they realize how tired we are. But these people are going, the day is here. It was unthinkable just a generation ago that one day we could possibly be living as post-Christians in America. 33 million Americans, now listen, 33 million Americans claim to have no religious affiliation at all. What does that do to us? 33 million. I look around my place where I live. I don't think any of them have any desire to know where the world or where the gospel is of Jesus Christ. There's a big business here of people coming and going. And yet they have no desire to sit down and say, let's have a study with God's Word. Let's do something. But it doesn't help. It doesn't go. The fastest growing religious group in America, guess who it is? It's Islam, which has doubled in size in America since the attacks of 2001. The Mormons, they make calls. Buddhism, they get ahead. Witchcraft gets ahead. 7,000 churches close their doors for good every year. Did you do that much in trying to get these works out and people listening to them and saying, let's go and let's do? 7,000 churches, 1,700 preachers are leaving the preacher ministry per month. That's 18,000 a year. If you ever go out and look at this and see what it is, you wonder, mercy, what are we doing? Where are we going? Who cares anything? And so this morning I would like to pose a very sobering, soul-searching question to each and every one. And that is, are you prepared? Now listen, are you prepared to live in a post-Christian America? Is that what we want to do? Do we want to leave God's way? Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ strong enough to stand in an environment of hostility and animosity toward those of the Christian faith? In our scripture text this morning, the Apostle Peter addresses the issue of suffering for the cause of Christ. His message was appropriate for who were suffering persecution in today. Now we got about three different senses on this, and I've got to get my bite out. My poor little bout. We'll be out of here in 2 more hours. So that'll be all right. First thing, we must be prepared to suffer for the cause of Christ. Peter begins by posing a question. And who is he? And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Peter is asking a rhetorical question here. Common sense and logic telling us that if we treat people right and show love with kindness towards others, and we mind our own business and pay our taxes and obey the law and the land, and that nobody is going to harm him, and for most part, that was almost been in case for Christian Americans, we have been able to practice our faith and our little or no resisting suffering. So, suffering for cause of Christ. Two. Now, I want you to go with me on this, that Peter says at the first part of verse 2, but even if we should suffer for righteous sake, you are blessed. What Peter is saying to what we're trying to do, the suffering for doing good, highly probable. Brethren, the Bible needs our minds. There was a time and a date when on my part of the Mela, I was way up there, 30, 40 people was preaching for me to learn things. But with that life, my son had going. And he finally began to come down a little bit, and a little bit more. And I lived to see churches, congregations, sort of help me out. Get away. We don't want you anymore. We've got a better way of doing it now. And I said, okay, if that's what you want. I know a good man that'll let me have a job. And I did do it for a while, but that wasn't it. Came down to our work here. And I found a wonderful congregation. A big one. And I preached on that for about 15 or 30 years. But now that time is over. The Bible, as well as the history books, remind us that since the early days of the church, and in every generation since, Christians have been targets of discrimination, hostility, persecution, torture, and even martyrdom. You think that? And when we take into account how tide has turned against Christians in this country. We have no promise, no guarantee that the suffering that the numbers of the guardians have gone through generations past. None of us want to suffer, and we pray that it never happens to us. But we must be enduring, that our faith in the Christ is real and genuine and strong. Peter says in verse 4, suffering for our faith in Christ is not a bad thing. It is a blessing. Jesus said, it is this way, Matthew 5:20. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. While suffering for being a Christian is not pleasant, but it has something that's worthwhile. As we looked about brothers and sisters, we must understand it is not going to get easy to live the Christian life here in America. It is going to become increasingly more difficult. And that is why we must prepare to suffer for the name of Christ. Do you believe that'll happen? Can you look around and see the possibility? Why are our buildings not as filled as they once were? What are a lot of places that we want to go to teach and preach, but they're gone? People are turning away. We must stay calm. Look in 14b. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. God doesn't want you and me to live our lives in fear. He wants us to live in lives of what? Faith. Faith is where it would be. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the apostle says, Paul tells us, for God will not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The best way to overcome our fears of what these difficult days ahead, being to what it is a right relationship with the Lord. You see, brethren, our churches today are filled with normal, lukewarm, half-hearted Christians who are Christians in a name only. You say, Maynard, that's not us. Look again. Look again. I don't know, brethren. When I stepped out of preaching and teaching, that was it. I had nowhere else to go. And I said, okay, Joyce, I'm tired anyway. But we got to realize we've got to go and do as long as we can. You see, our Christians today are filled with normal, lukewarm, half-hearted Christians who are Christians in name only. So, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, walk worthy of calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, while suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. You see, what we truly know, Christ and love, Christ and life for Christ. It helps dispel and fear of suffering what's been going on. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You've heard that many times, haven't you? You can knock your head a little every once in a while. So you haven't been. Well, it's okay. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 31, "What then shall we say to those things? If God is with us, we can be against him." One of the early martyrs of the church was a man whose name was Polycarp. And this man, who was an elder in the church of Smyrna, that we read about it in Revelation chapter 2. Church history tells us that when the Roman Empire sent troops to Smyrna to execute Polycarp, and Polycarp made them at the soldiers of the door and greeted them with the words, "God will be done." He then ordered his executioners food to eat. Polycarp was one of those early ones. 86 years I have served Christ, and he has never done me wrong. How can I now blaspheme my King and my Savior? I don't know. I don't know what's going on, what's happening. Sometimes we look around us and we wonder, what can we do? What can we best do? How can we work it, brethren? I don't have the answer. You're smarter people than I am. You're so smart, I look so pitiful. I don't think much about it. But brethren, I want to encourage you. It can't be long for some of us. Move on. We move on not for ourselves, but for sales that are coming. We ought to be able to teach the truth. Turn it. One more. We must sanctify the Lord in our hearts. Verse 15. What does Peter mean by the word sanctify? Means to see oneself apart from God, or to wholly dedicate oneself to God. When I sanctify the Lord God in my heart, it means I live every little life to praise him. Do you walk with Christ daily? Or what do you do with him? We must be prepared for that. And what are you able to do? We must always be prepared to speak up for Christ. I don't know, brethren. I could be totally, completely miss it. But I believe in our congregations, maybe we need to get a little better on some things. Brethren, I know I'm not the wise man. I'm not the smart man. And I'm not saying you do what you want to, Maynard. But I'm thinking of this, that about 2 minutes as we get everybody to the pew, we stop everybody laughing and think, you've talked to it for a while. 2 minutes to let us realize, what am I doing today? Where am I going? Sometimes we just, I know you get a good sermon for your preacher, and I'm not knocking that, but I am saying that sometimes we just calm down, stop copying and talking about everything, and think about, what am I going to do today? What am I going to help in this sermon that's going to be presented today? You have, Larry, he's great. I used to be able to do a lot of that, but my mind is gone. But we want to get people. Then when life is at the end, you can get to life and again and stuff and so forth. You go home. But help us to see that the Lord is concerned about what we're doing. Well, it's a thought. You may say, get out of here. I don't know. But I want you, if you are here today, and we've got to talk about the Lord, we need to talk to Him, and we need to help Him. And you got to listen to me one more time. I hope. Maybe they helped me out that door. But anyway, if there are those, I don't know for sure, but if there are any here who are not children of God, boy, let's do help Him. Let's help her, whatever it is, to bring the message. If you've been a child of God and have wandered away, let that happen. And you turn and you come to Him. You got it? So I want you to stand and lead us in those songs.